Thank you for listening to the Dothan First podcast. We hope you enjoy today's inspiring message.
Why don't you grab your copy of God's Word and say this with me. Say, I am what God's Word says I am.
What God's Word says I am.
That I can do. What God's Word said I can do.
God's Word said I can do.
And I can become.
And I can become.
All that God said I could be.
All that God said I could be.
So today. I'll hear God's Word.
I'll receive God's Word.
And I will obey God's Word.
Because I love His Word.
Now listen, as we turn to Ephesians chapter 1, it should be in your notes. You're going to be hearing more about the challenge of any relationship. And for some of you in this room, you need to understand that our biggest struggle, and you can see it throughout the Word of God and through Jesus' ministry, He dealt with relationships, the challenges in relationships. I would say it like this. Some of us in this room can identify with the statement, I could love God all day long. It's just hard to love people sometimes, right? I could be a Christian, a real good Christian, if it wasn't for all these people around me. You know what I'm saying? But that's not the way God intended us to live. He intended us to live life together, learning how to love one another. Michelle and I, when we first met, she saw me and my beautiful curly locks of hair across a crowded room.
After 25 years, you just kind of let them just... in their own dream world, you know.
She didn't know I was going to shave my head when we were older, but she didn't fall in love with the hair. I think she fell in love with my dancing. I think that was the clincher. But now, I feel like if I try to break dance, I'll break something. And so she couldn't have fallen in love really with that. So what was it that caused us to fall in love and want to get married? And then what's more important is what would sustain us for now almost 25 years? Through all the challenges, through the hardships, through the good and bad times, what sustained us? And it was the Word of God, I promise you. It was God's mercy on both of us. We just said in our lives that we didn't, you know, believe in divorce. Murder might be an option, but divorce was, you know.
We said we were going to be real with y'all. This is us.
But you need to know God wants to help you. And with marriage and divorce, we realize 50% of marriages end up in divorce. We want to help you. And God wants to help you with this. And Ephesians chapter 1 gives us a picture of that. And Michelle, if you don't mind reading that, just to give us a glimpse of what Christ did for us so that we could have the power in our marriage and in our family.
How tremendous is the power available to us who believe in God, the same power demonstrated when Christ was raised from the dead.
Now, I would say it like this. In other words, God is saying, the power that's inside of you, the same power that raised Christ from the dead, that same power is there to help heal your brokenness. That same power is there to help restore your relationship that's been broken up by problems and challenge and the butting of heads and even the mistakes that have been made in a relationship, the wounding of disloyalty or whatever it might be that you've faced. But I would say it even further that for some of you, you might not be married, but you're single. And maybe some of you are single by choice. Others of you single maybe by situation. But whatever you come in here with today, you need to know that the things that we're going to talk about, although, yes, they will have a general connection to marriage and relationships, it's going to really help you in all relationships. Friendship relationships, or even relationships between parents and children. Because these three stress points are pretty statistically significant in every relationship, even a boss and a coworker. And it's these three areas of relationships that cause stress points is unexpected differences, unmet needs, and unforgiven mistakes. These are our differences, our needs, our mistakes, or their differences, their needs, and their mistakes. Whatever it is, you find that those become the stress points. And God is saying to you today, I want to help you with that. I don't want to just educate you from the Bible. Listen, the Bible is more than just a tool for education. This is a book of revelation. This is a love letter to you. This is applicable. Everything in here will apply and can apply to your daily life, to your marriage, to your family, to your parenting, to whatever it is that God is walking you through in this journey called faith. He wants to help you, strategically help you. And we're going to talk about that today. And so the first and most important foundational point we could start with is God will help me to understand, write that down, understand my mate's unexpected differences. To understand my mate's unexpected differences. Now, to understand means to listen, or more importantly, to hear with your heart. We have found that we don't always think alike. And so when she listens to me, she may not be hearing just the words that come out of my mouth, but hopefully she's hearing the heart behind it. Hopefully, even if I can't understand all the words exactly that she's saying and all the feelings that she's feeling, hopefully I'm having an understanding with my heart. If you're going to have a successful and satisfying relationship, you got to understand the depth of differences between you and your spouse. The number one complaint that we hear over and over, I just don't understand him, or I just can't figure her out, or whatever. And that's every one of us in this room at some point. And 1 Corinthians chapter 2 gives us a picture of this challenge that we all have in relationships.
No one can really know what anyone else is thinking or what he is really like except that person himself.
Now, I would say when Michelle and I got married, before we got married, we thought that we thought alike. I mean, everything that when we were first dating and we were discovering what each other liked, oh, you like peanut butter and jelly? I like peanut butter and jelly too. We're meant to be together. I like the color blue. I like the color blue too. Oh, we were meant to be together. I like cereal. You like cereal? We're meant to be together. And then we got married. And it was amazing how all of those things that we focused on, of the things that we were alike in, all of the differences starting to be magnified in those moments. And we are so different, and I think God has a sense of humor that it is true that opposites attract. Come on now, somebody. Shouting me down while I'm preaching good. I mean, God, I think, may sit up and chuckle a little bit as he puts two people together and watch the sparks fly. But most couples, if you're like most couples, there is one of you that's an early riser, the other one's a night owl. The other one says God, not even sure if God exists until after the second cup of coffee.
I thought it was a kiss cam or something.
It probably should have been. One of you might be daring and impulsive. The other one is cautious and reserved. The other one says, I'm playing by the rules. The other one says, forget the rules, right? One of you likes to talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. And the other is a bump on a log. So I'm just saying, there's always...
Hey, I like to talk. I just want to say something that's, you know, meaningful. Anyway, I love you. I love you, though.
Thank you so much, sweetie. Yeah. Some of you like to spend money, and others of you are tightwads. So some of you like to cuddle. The other one's a porcupine. You know, I would say it like this. As it relates to intimacy, some of you are like, drop everything, and the other one of you is like, a drop dead. like the guy that I heard who went home, handed his wife 2 aspirin. She said, what's this for? He said, it's for your headache. She says, I don't have a headache. And he goes, I gotcha. All right.
He's just full of it this morning.
Yes.
Just great.
Full of the Holy Spirit. We're going to have fun. Kiss cam. It feels like there's a need right now for a kiss cam. I don't know who. Look at that. Come on, give it up. So sweet, so sweet.
Well, and it is true, talking about the differences. The greater your differences are, the greater for potential growth in your marriage.
Right.
Embracing those differences. Not only is it male-female differences, but your differences come from how you were raised, the family that you're in, maybe where you're from, the things that you've gone through in life. Cause you to be different. Difference doesn't mean that I'm right and he's wrong, or he's wrong and I'm right.
Right.
I think I said that right.
No, anyway, you said it right, but I.
So, but it's just it's embracing the differences, because as the word says, as
I'm so sorry. I love you so much.
Said. Good. I'm just trying to be spiritual up here. Go sit down. But embracing those differences, and we can grow as people. Through those differences, iron sharpens iron.
Right.
You know, and sometimes that sword's pretty sharp because it's been sharpened a lot. But sometimes you have to come, if you can't get past your differences and it becomes something in your relationship, you have to come up with a answer, a medium, a solution. Kind of like what we did in our laundry situation. And I call it a situation because it was a situation for the first 7 years of our marriage. And we will be married 25 years this September. So for about 17 years, we've found the solution. And I want to share that with you all this morning, just to be honest, because we are, this is us.
That's right.
So when we're, you know, as he was saying, when you're dating, everything is awesome, right? Everything. Mm. I mean, I kept a gum wrapper in my Bible for years because we shared a stick of gum in chapel.
Ooh.
I mean, I've thrown it away since then. But you know, those things were, everything was just awesome. Everything. And when we were in college, we did laundry because there was only one laundromat on the campus. And some of you know I've shared a little bit with this. But I would watch him do his laundry, and I was just so impressed because I was so in love. Mm. He could do his laundry, and it was separate. He was so picky-ricky with it, and just he had certain hangers for certain pants, and he wanted them out of the dryer at a certain time and to fluff them up, and he had them all neat. And I just thought, wow, what a man. And I would go to my roommate and say, can you believe that he is so picky about his laundry? I love that he's a man who knows what he wants.
Come on, girl.
He knows.
You know.
Those hangers. Mm-hmm. And I cannot wait to marry him and do his laundry. Because I love him so much.
Jesus, take the wheel.
And let me just tell you, and I will give you the Reader's Digest of that situation. It caused probably more arguments and more fights in the first 7 years of our marriage. And you think to yourself, how could that be? Because it always goes deeper than just the surface. You know, it's like, oh, you're telling me how to do. I don't know what happened to you when you were a child, but this is how you do it in Mississippi. You know, this is how we did it. So it was a continual. To one day, I'm like, okay, you know what? Now, this was out of anger. I said, from now on, you're doing your own laundry. And he said, fine, I'll do my own laundry. Then we came back and talked about it, and we said, really, this is a great solution. This is a great solution. You do your own laundry, and we'll all do mine and the kids, and we'll all be happy. Well, I got to be honest with you. You know, after a couple weeks, I started feeling guilty. So I was like, oh, gosh, he's over there. He works so hard, and he's doing his own laundry. And then one day, you know, I got set free from that because I was reading the Word, and in Revelation 22:14, it says, blessed are those who wash their robes. They will be given the right to eat the fruit from the tree of life and enter the gate of that city. And I got set free right there because I'm like, I am helping my husband go to heaven. He is washing his own robe. So let me tell you something, church. Your pastor for 17 years has done his own laundry. Now, I iron, because I am an iron freak.
She doesn't want me to burn up the clothes. That's
yes,
right.
I'm an iron freak. So if you ever see him with wrinkled clothes, it's my fault. If you see him with dirty clothes, it's his fault.
That's pretty good. We found that not every marriage is the same. Not every marriage works the same. As a matter of fact, we could say it like this, that both you and your spouse, if you're married in this room, you take with you ideas from the home you were raised in. And for some of you, you were raised in a home where the man did one thing and the woman did another, and you watched that, and you said one of two things. Either that's exactly what I'm going to do. You know, you didn't say it out loud, but you said in your mind and your mentality, that's what my marriage is going to be like, or you found something about your parents' marriage that you didn't like, and you said, that'll never happen in my marriage. And you never communicated that to your lovely, wonderful spouse before you got married. But what happens is, marriage is like this. It's like you take suitcases, these imaginary suitcases, that somebody else packed for you on your honeymoon with you. And the rest of your marriage, you just unpack this baggage with each other. And sometimes you find things that you didn't expect to be in those bags. But the fact is, if you carry them too long without communication, here's the problem. Frustration comes when there's a lack of communication. Expectation without communication equals frustration. Always. And so what we found is there's balance points. What works for one couple may not work for another couple. And that's cool. That's fine. What we really want is to make sure to bring balance to our relationship. The fact is, God brought us together for a reason. What was that divine purpose? And figuring that out. And think about balance. I mean, you don't eat with, you know, two knives. You eat with one knife and one fork. You need the balance. And in your relationship, you need balance. Matter of fact, I'll say it like this. The greater the difference between you and your spouse, the greater potential for growth personally and in your relationship. And God allows, I believe, those differences for growth. We read a book. It was kind of late in our marriage. I wish it would have been earlier. Is the Gary Smalley's 5 Love Languages. What we found is that we were speaking a different language to each other than what we intended. I would say, you know, let's pretending, you know, she was speaking Italian. She doesn't know Italian, but she's speaking, let's pretend, a different language than what I could understand. So she's speaking Italian, and all I wanted to do was speak French. So anyway, some of you will get that later. What I'm saying is love languages, 5, I'm keeping it PG, there's other kids in the room, but I'm saying 5 love languages goes like this. These 5 different ways that you might communicate to your spouse or want communication back to you. One is words of affirmation. The other is physical touch. The other is quality time. The other is gifts, giving gifts. And the 5th one is acts of service. Now, here's what we found. We were speaking through different love languages. My love language was very clear from the very beginning. It's the same as it was then as it is now. It was physical touch and words of affirmation. If she did this, honey, you're so amazing. That was all that it took. Words of affirmation, physical touch. Those 2 things really did something to me. And that's what I wanted to receive. Therefore, that's what I gave to her. I gave to her what I wanted back. I was just, you know, reflecting what I wanted back. So all of these flowery words, right? All of this, you know, wonderful, huggy, touchy-feely kind of stuff. Poetic stuff. Trying to be romantic, writing poems. All of this stuff. And what I found was those weren't the same love languages that my wife gave and wanted to receive from me. Because what she wanted from me was to
pick up the vacuum cleaner.
That's exactly right.
Acts of service and quality time.
Right.
And so, you know, the words, when you're dating, the words and everything is great, and they're sweet, and the letters that were written were awesome, but I needed you to show me by helping with the house.
Right.
And helping with the kids and different things. That was show because I'm acts of service. That's why it was so hard for me to even the whole laundry thing, because it was acts of service. But I'm like, you won that one, bud. You can have that one. I'm not going there anymore.
See, I think there comes a place for all of us. And by the way, this five love languages test, the test is online. It's pretty easy to access. I would encourage all of you to look it up and take the test. I'm quite sure it's free of charge. But it would help you maybe to understand where your spouse is coming from, or if you're just early in a relationship, to find out what that different love language is. That may help you along the way and certainly help you in your future. So the foundation has to begin with that you're not exactly alike and that you're different, and God wants to use those differences to help you. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, if you'll turn there or look at it, it says this.
You husbands should try to understand the wife that you live with. So everybody just circle that word try.
Yes, try. Because men and women obviously are inherently different in thousands of ways, biologically, X and Y chromosomes. You know, girls mature faster than boys. That's what I've been told. We're different behaviorally, right? Men assume that women think like men, and women assume that men think like women, and it's flat out not true. The fact is, if I was going out to golf with one of you, and we spent 4 hours on the course playing a round of 18 in the same cart together, I would come home after that 4 hours. Michelle would say something like, "Well, sweetie, how was your golf game? You know, with Bill?" And oh, it was great. We had a great time. She would say, "Well, I heard that Bill was going through a transition at his job. How's that going?" I don't know. Well, sweetie, you were with him, right, in the cart, right? Yeah, I was with him in the cart. Well, there was something that his wife was saying something about that one of his kids was sick. How's she doing? Is she feeling any better? I don't know. I'm not really sure. Well, I did hear that her in-laws were going to be coming and visiting. Well, is he cool with that? Is everything working out that way? And I heard his dad was sick. Is everything cool there? I'm not really. Honey, how in the world could you possibly spend 4 hours? You were in the same cart, right? Yes. Did you talk about anything that was meaningful? Yeah, he got a new driver, and I was, checking that out. But if she went out with the wife and spent 4 hours together, they'd solve world peace.
That's right. Yep.
They'd find out every relationship aspect of their homes and their lives and their kids and all of that stuff. So we just think and we talk differently. And let me just say this for the ladies in the house. Men tend to reflect on what they think. They communicate by what they've pondered. That's why some guys will be totally silent for a while, and then all of a sudden, your husband will come back to you like 3 days after you said something and say, I was thinking about something that you said the other day. And because we have to reflect on it. But women tend to reflect how they feel. And that would be just a tendency, a generality. But we need to know even beyond that, even every other woman in the world is different from my wife. And every other man in the world is different from me. So you have to understand it's not just biologically and behaviorally. It's also background. Their background is different. The way they were raised. Everything about them. Have you ever played the game with your spouse in a conversation? You know what I mean. Have you ever played that game? You know what I mean. That is, you say something and all of a sudden they look at you angry or defensive or frustrated, or whatever, and you're like, you clearly don't know what I mean when I said what I just said. Why? Because it went through a filter of their experience, their background, whatever it was. A word, an action, an attitude, even a bad day can shift gears. And I would say it like this. Michelle and I went through a time where we struggled even through each other's backgrounds, because we were raised in different homes in different parts of the United States. And so, I remember meeting her dad, and he used this beautiful term for those that were up north. What was it? It was something Yankee. Blank Yankee. I can't remember. It had four letters in it, but anyway, something to that effect.
Well, he also said when you asked if you could marry me.
Yes.
You know, he was a man of few words, but he said, I'm not afraid to go back to prison.
Yes, that's right. He did say it. And he was being honest about that. But different worlds. And so even if you grew up together in the same culture, you might be different. But especially if you grew up in different parts of the country or different families, we had different ways of communication. And I would say one of the things that really, really hindered our relationship was our lack of congruence in communication. I'll say it like this. In my family, when there was a disagreement, we all had to sit down and go through a family meeting discussing the points in which all of us had had our struggle points, and then we would communicate back to one another how we were feeling in a careful way to not offend that other person. And then there was the forgiveness time, where if my sister and I got into a disagreement, we would not just shake hands, you know, and be friends. We had to reflect back kind of the five specific ways of forgiveness, which is saying not only I'm sorry, but also please forgive me, and then also acknowledging what we did wrong, and then saying that we would never do that again, acknowledging the other person's feelings. All of this was the way it's supposed to be done. Now, that's a great way. There's nothing wrong with that way. But if you find that your mate did not grow up in that same environment, they may not adopt the same ways, and maybe their family didn't do it the same way. It doesn't mean that it's wrong. It just means it's a different way. And Proverbs chapter 24 is, I think, the most important of all things when it comes to really understanding your spouse.
Homes are built on the foundation of wisdom and understanding.
Now, let me ask you this question. How many of you are patient enough to not focus so much on that person's differences and how wrong they are, but patient enough to be understanding and listen with your heart to find out where they're coming from? I would say probably 80 to 90% of most communication issues in marriage has to do with the inability for one person to see the other person's side. Every human being wants two things: to be heard and to be understood. To be heard and to be understood. And so the Bible says if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask Dr. Phil. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, right? And he'll give you generously what you need. He'll give you wisdom. And what I found is the more I study the Word of God, the better I begin to understand Michelle and the way God created her, that he made her as my mate. And so let's go to this second one, understanding not just my mate's differences, but secondly, God will help me recognize my mate's unmet needs. To recognize my mate's unmet needs. God designed love and marriage for the purpose to mutually benefit one another. And we have some basic needs. Your spouse has basic needs. God intended for you to meet those needs in marriage. And on that note, we should probably do a kiss cam. It just feels right. I don't know. For some reason, it just feels right. Who is, let's see if we, oh my goodness. Woo! You notice that Scott grabbed her face. He's a romantic, hopeless romantic, isn't he? I just think about the differences in relationships. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 gives us, this is a beautiful picture of God's love for one another through mutually benefiting each other in marriage.
The man should fulfill his duty as a husband, and the woman should fulfill her duty as a wife, and each should satisfy the other's needs.
So men, you need to understand that women want men to fulfill their needs without them telling us what they are.
Right. Yes.
And ladies, you just need to understand us guys are too stupid to know what you're thinking. I'm just saying. Hey, I can say it like this. There have been so many times that I have been looking out a window or just sitting on, you know, on the couch, and I'm just kind of staring off into space. And my wife will ask me the question, what are you thinking about? And I will answer, as every man does,
nothing.
Nothing.
I'm like, how can you not be thinking about anything? That doesn't even comprehend to me. You know, even if I'm staring outside on back porch and I'm looking at how the beautiful blue sky. Oh, what a beautiful blue sky. God is so amazing. I love that color. That color would look good actually painted on a wall right there. Mm. And then, you know what? Speaking of that, I really need to redo the living room because it's kind of getting, I need to get some new throw pillows. You know how our mind, even if it's squirrel, we're thinking about something. I do not understand, even to this day, what he means by saying nothing. I mean, when we first, you know, we're dating and it's like nothing, I'm like, you're thinking about your ex-girlfriend, aren't you? You just don't want to tell me. So you start thinking about what they're thinking about and you make up this whole thing in your mind.
Oh,
but
I mean,
you know, I guess I got to believe that you're really not thinking about nothing. I don't understand that.
Guys, how many of this room know what I'm talking about when I say we are not thinking about anything? Look around. I promise you, we just don't.
I don't know if that makes me feel secure as a woman or what, but to not think about anything.
Oh, so. Men just don't get women, and women don't get men in many ways, but it's a skill we've got to learn. We got to learn to understand each other. Just because you got married doesn't mean you automatically know how to meet your mate's needs. And I think 80% of problems in relationships could be solved by this verse, Philippians chapter 2. Verse 4, and I want you to look at this.
Look out for each other's interest, not just for your own.
The root problem in every relationship is selfishness. It is. It's I want what I want. I'm thinking about my needs, what I'd like. And the true definition of love, God's definition of agape love, if you want to use that term, is all for you, nothing for me. That's what it is. He gave his life for us. He didn't say, and you got to pay me back now. You got to do this and you got to do that to make up all your sins. How many of you know that God forgave you of some sins in your life? A whole lot of them, right? And continues to do so. He came after us because he loved us. And so that true definition of love, all for you, nothing for me. And that's probably why people would not want to sit down with me or with us in a counseling session, because we're just going to say, hey, you probably need to grow up and get a little less selfish. I mean, that's true for everybody, right? We play this little game in our house called, did you lock the door? I don't know how many of you play this game on any given night, but I can just tell you we've played this game for years in our marriage. My wife has a high need for security. I don't know why. She knows these guns. Thank you for that word of love and that physical touch. I'm saying. Thank you. You've been a great audience. God bless you. No, I grew up in a household where we didn't lock the doors, you know, all the time. And so one of those things that would happen is my head would hit the pillow, my feet would be comfortably warm underneath the covers. And now is the time that this revelation question comes. Did you lock all the doors? Now, I have two responses for that. One is, yes, I did, and it might be true, and it might not be.
And I always know when it is, because I'm like, you didn't.
and because I know where all liars go, I end up finding my way back to the truth. The other is, my thought goes to, well, if you need to have the doors locked so badly, why don't you make it a priority to make sure to go check them doors? Instead of waiting until my feet are warm underneath the covers and my head's hit the pillow and now I'm comfortably set.
As iron sharpens iron.
But what it is this. Listen, Can I say this? After all these years, what I've learned out of that whole silly controversy is, am I going to meet my need for comfort, or am I going to meet my wife's need for security? And the fact is, if I was a good husband, after a while, I'd get it through my thick skull. Check all the doors, stupid, before you put your head on the pillow. But in some ways, I needed to understand that something happens in marriage. The shift happens in marriage. Before you were married, the dating relationship, oh, what can I do to please you? Nothing is too difficult. Nothing is too hard. I will do anything and everything to make sure that you are simply pleased. I would walk 1,000 miles if I could just see you. Ding-a-da-ding-a-da-ding. Anyway, you just find your way into that focus of love until you say, I do. These vows, these specific vows that you said you're going to keep to love, honor, cherish, all this stuff. And then you kiss each other. You walk out with people clapping their hands. And then all of a sudden you decide, I don't feel like it anymore. I just don't feel like it anymore. I'm tired. I'm burned out. I'm wore out. That's why the Bible says, look out for each other's interests, not just your own. Because the culture says look out for number one, but you know that's called immaturity. It's selfishness, it's immaturity. That's what kids do. Kids look out for what they want. What they want is what they want. They don't care if you have the money to buy the present that they're begging you for. They don't care how you go and get it. They care about them. They don't care if you're hungry. If they're hungry, they're gonna cry or whine or complain. Why? Because they're kids. They're growing up. They're learning maturity. You're teaching it to them. But some of you need to learn that same life lesson. Now, I'll say it like this. This is, I can prove our selfishness right now, okay? I'm going to take a selfie of all of us, okay? All right, here we go. I'm going to take this picture. You ready? Okay, you ready, you in it? Okay, here we go. Everybody smile. Everybody smile. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Okay. If I showed you that picture and I posted it online, you would determine if that picture is great or not. You would take that photo, you would blow it up as big as you could make it with your little fingers until you saw your smiling face. And if everybody else looked cross-eyed with spinach in their teeth, it would still be a great picture. Why? Because you looked good in it. Is that true? Some of the arguments that we've had in our home, and I would say arguments loosely between our kids and my wife, is that my wife has social media and she likes to post pictures of our kids. But our kids want to make sure that they look good. Mom, I can't believe you posted that picture. I don't like that picture. It's a picture of our family. And I can just say for many of us in this room, that little selfie idea is the same as it is in marriage, as long as we look good. And so we're going to kind of close out our time together. Pastor Adam, if you'd come as we close out. In this one scripture that I think is apropos is Philippians chapter 2.
God, who is at work within you, will give you the will and the power to achieve his purpose.
Friends, we can't do it on our own. We need God's help. It's kind of like that three-legged stool illustration where the two of us trying to, you know, be the legs of that stool, her being one leg, me being the other. Before too long, that thing's going to topple over. It's going to cause all kinds of problems, issue, and controversy. But if we'll learn to let God be that third leg in the stool, to keep us balanced, to keep us focused, to love like he loves, to give like he gives, to serve like he serves. When the disciples were fighting over position, Jesus took a towel and a basin and became the lead servant and said, if you want to really be the head, get down on your knees and serve. You really want to be in charge? Learn how to serve. You really want to learn how to get? Then give. You really want to be loved? Then love. He shifted the focus to teach us that when I don't have the strength or the ability or the power within my own self to love Michelle the way God wants me to, I need to go to God and say, God, today I just don't feel like it. I need your help. Lord, give me your power, the same power that raised Christ from the dead. Give me that kind of power. Lord, I need your power. I don't need my own willpower, because some days are good, some days are bad, some days I'm tired, some days I'm hungry, some days I just don't feel like it. But God wants me to love, give, and serve the way he did every day. And that's what he's calling us all to do, to serve one another. That's what life groups are about. It's not just about, well, what can I get out of this group? No, it's about what can I give to this group? How can I pray for somebody that's in need? How can I help somebody in need? That's what the church is really for. It's not just so we can bless me club, so we can show up and say, bless God, I got something good out today. That's fine. You need to every time. My prayer is you show up, how can I bless somebody today? How can I encourage somebody today? Instead of waiting for the compliment, you're the first one to give it. That's the heart of love. Jesus said, they, the world, will know that you're Christians if you have love one for another. Let's take a moment and pray over what we've just heard. Lord, teach us to love each other as you first loved us. And I pray that God, in these next few moments as we seek you, that we would find you. Lord, I pray over every relationship in this room. God, specifically marriage relationships that may be broken down, hurting, maybe unresolved from the last argument, whatever. You would teach us how to love each other, how to understand each other, to hear from the heart, to give and serve the way we should. And when we fall short, because we will, we're humans, pick us back up again. Bring us close. Show us the error of our ways. Forgive us and change us. If you just keep your heads bowed and eyes closed, two specific areas. One is if you need a relationship restored with Jesus, with God your creator, making peace with God. If you did that during this service, or you haven't yet, but you know you need to, if there's sin that's separating you and God, right now you can make it right. Before we leave, you can make it right. I'm not going to do anything to embarrass you, but I'd love to be able to simply partner with you in prayer. I want to include you in this prayer right now. If that's you, while heads are bowed, eyes are closed, nobody's looking around, you say, Mark, that's me. Include me in this prayer. I'm rededicating my life to the Lord, or maybe for the first time, I'm saying yes to God. Yes to everything he has for my life. To forgive my sins and give me a fresh start. If that's you right now, all over this place, I want you to simply do this. Slip up your hand, indicating by the uplifted hand, Mark, that's me. Include me in this prayer right now. Come on, all over this place. Yes, God bless you. Yes, yes, in the balcony on the main floor. God bless you. Yes, over here. God bless you. Yes, sir. God bless you. Yes, ma'am. Anybody else? That's you today. God bless you. There are others of you in this room. You'd say, there's a relationship that's out of alignment. It may be your marriage, it may not be. It may be between your kids, it may be between you and your adult, you know, parents. Maybe a relationship's out of alignment. And you just say, God, I need that thing put back together. God's here to help. Help restore. He's the God who sees and the God that provides. And he's going to bring restoration and love in places that have been broken. If that's you, and you say, Mark, I'm a believer in this room. I love God. But I've got some broken areas maybe in my own heart because of a relationship, or I know that there's a broken relationship, and I just need prayer for that. Would you lift up your hand all over this place? Yes, God bless you. So many hands lifted. God bless you. Yeah. God bless you. So many hands lifted. You can put your hands down. This is called human nature. To love means we're vulnerable, and to be vulnerable means we're going to be hurt, because a human being is, by their own nature, imperfect, flawed. And I want to lead you in a prayer, all of us together. I want to lead you in a prayer that will help bring clarity to your own heart and to that relationship. Let's pray this out loud together. Everybody in this room, can you say this with me? Say, Lord Jesus, forgive me for my sins. Give me a fresh start today. I choose to trust you with every area of my life. Forgive my sins. And today, I choose to put you as the focus of every relationship in my life. Teach me to serve, to love, and to give just like you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Friends, I want you to know today, Michelle and I are going to be doing something a little bit different. Normally, we would go out into the foyer and connect with those that are joining with us for the first time and give you a gift. However, my parents over here, Pastors Wayne and Kathy Benson, right here on the front row, they're actually going to be the ones that are slipping out and heading back toward our Connection Cafe, and they're going to meet you and greet you, connect with you, and give you a gift for joining with us here today, for hanging out with us. They just want to connect with you. They won't take a bunch of your time, but they just want to bless you. So if you would, we're going to dismiss the two of you to head back there. And you'll just know that they're going to represent us today. And the reason why is Michelle and I just felt like through this series in the month of February, we're just going to stay down here. These altars are always open for you at the end of every service. And if you need prayer for any reason, whatever it might be, prayer for a need that you have, specifically if it's something relational, especially that was on our hearts, if there's something in your relationship, we want to be able to pray with you and agree with you in prayer. Nobody at this church, I can promise you, is going to look down at this altar if they see you praying and go, I wonder what's going on with them. Nah, it doesn't matter. What we care about is, you know, we're just thankful we can all pray for each other, because all of us have been through something. And today, we just want to be a blessing and encourage each and every one of you to focus on what God wants for your life. He has a great plan. And the only way to get his plan and know his will is to understand and know his word and to hear his heart every day through prayer. I'm going to release you, and we're going to release you with a blessing. And then we're just going to come right down here and just kind of wait, hang out a little bit. We may sit down for a little bit. And if you come and kneel at this altar, that'll be our cue to know you like prayer. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to release you with this blessing. Don't forget, tonight, the Super Bowl parties across this city. My prayer would be all of you have one and that you connect with somebody. Let's have fun and let's be a blessing in our community. So may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance on you and bring you peace. And may the Lord our God write his name on your heart and declare, you're my child. No one can take you from my hand. May you know the love of the Savior that he has for you, that he does not expect in any way perfection, but that the righteous who fall, even if they fall seven times, they'll get back up again because the Spirit of the living God is there to help them. And I have in this moment the opportunity to tell you the same Spirit and the power of the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. May you never forget the power that's in you. Because of his great love, I bless you to be a blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Don't forget, next week we'll be back here going through some more. God bless you. You're dismissed.
Thank you for listening. Stay connected with Dothan First at dothanfirstassembly.org or follow us on social media. Also, if you're in the Dothan area, we'd love to have you join us next Sunday at 10 a.m. We'll